Good morning.
How are you this morning? Good to see you. Happy Mother's Day to all the mums out there. Mother's Day feels a little bit different for me this year. It's my first Mother's Day since my mum passed away, so it's a little bit different, and I'm sure there's others that feel that or have felt that over the years as well. So yeah, it's a very different experience not having a mum on Mother's Day. I still have a mother-in-law, so I guess that works somewhat. No, it's not the same. No. We all know that, but we just don't say it out loud normally, Frank. You're on fire today, Frank. Obviously my wife's a mother, and she's somewhere in Adelaide having a Mother's Day without kids and enjoying herself with her best friends over there, wine tasting and other lovely things. So what a great Mother's Day for her. So it's very good. As Dave said, we're entering into this series, May I Know Your Heart. So this really pressing in to, I guess, discover and unwrap a little bit about God's heart on a number of different key issues. And today we're looking at, you know, may we know God's heart when in serving others. And I said to Dave a couple of weeks ago when he said, can I speak today? And he asked me, which one did I want? And I said, oh, look, just give me the one that no one else wants. I don't care. I don't know if that was true or not. But I thought it was interesting that today being Mother's Day, and we're talking about, you know, understanding God's heart in the way that we serve others. And the way I see the mother's heart in the way that a mother serves and loves and gives to their kids, to me, really, if you want to know God's heart in how to serve others, look at what mums do, particularly our mums. Now, I know not every mum is perfect, and some mums swear while they drive. No, I'm sure that's not true, Shell. No, I can't imagine it. I cannot imagine it. Fee says she does, but anyway. Mums are not perfect. I know that, and I'm sure some of you, your relationship with your mum may be not great, but generally when you think about the time and devotion and the love and the energy and the passion and the sacrifice that mums make generally for their kids, in a way I think that's a great illustration of how Jesus expects us all to be with each other. It's interesting, the text for today is in John chapter 13, and it's the story of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. And this whole passage really is about God's heart in how we serve each other in the body of Christ. I think that then takes a step out of the body of Christ into the world and how we love and serve the world around us. And, you know, being challenged by the words of Jesus this week personally of, you know, Jesus calls us to love our enemies. So at that extreme, and yet what is he calling us to do in the body of Christ? And so this whole passage about Jesus washing the disciples' feet is really about knowing God's heart in the way that we would serve each other here in the context of the church and the power of that to the world out there. And to me, this is, you know, in a sense, this is evangelism 101, because Jesus says they will know that you are my disciples because of your love for one another. And it's a love demonstrated, not just spoken. And that's what I guess this passage shows us. And it's a familiar one. I'm sure there's many of you that know the story of Jesus washing the disciples' feet, but I'm going to read it to you anyway. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, so you got it, this is the context. Jesus knew what was coming, right? He knew where he was headed, and it was to the cross. Come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given him all things into his hands and that he had come from God and that was going back to God, he rose from supper, laid aside his outer garment, and took up a towel, tied it around his waist, poured water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet. This was the kind of lowest job in the room. I was thinking about it this week. When we think about the church, what's the lowest job in the church today? Don't know. Cleaning the toilets? Yeah, that's why we pay someone to do it. I mean, you know, I've been part of this church for over 40 years and on the team here for 30-something. And, you know, I've probably done most things, I reckon, including clean the toilets. But this was the lowest kind of job that you could do, is wash the dirty, grubby feet that had walked on the old, you know, they weren't like nice pebbled pavements back in those days. There was all kinds of uglies on the side of the road that they probably stepped in and got all over their feet, and they're smelly and horrible and gross. And I find it fascinating that the text says, you know, he knew who he was. He knew where he came from, and he knew that he had all power and where he was going, and in that moment decides, I'm going to take on the humblest job in the room and wash the feet of the disciples. And he came to Simon Peter, of course, and he went, you're not washing my feet. They're pretty gross. Jesus says, well, I'm doing what you don't understand. Maybe you'll understand it later. Peter says, you're never going to wash my feet. Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, you have no share with me. Ooh. Take that, Peter. Gives it to him, right? Lord, not my feet only, but then, you know, he's like, Jesus has just like kicked him up the backside for having a whinge about washing his feet. And then, so he goes from one extreme to the other. Oh, okay, no, you're not washing my feet. Okay, now wash all of me. You know, he says like, you know, don't just wash my feet, but wash my hands, wash my head. And Jesus is like, what are you talking about, Peter? Grow up, son. The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet. And it goes on, and if you go a little bit further down, kind of Jesus wraps up this whole thing in verse 31, where he says, this is after Judas had left, and I find that just humbling. Like, I could not have done that. No, because it says he knew Judas was going to betray him. He knew Peter was going to deny him. And yet, he takes off his outer garment, picks up a towel, and washes the feet of Judas. Like, that's why he's God and I'm not. I couldn't do it. He goes on, verse 31. Where is it? Yeah. A new commandment I'm given to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You are also to love one another. And by this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. This is not an emotional love that Jesus is talking about. He has just demonstrated his heart of how do we serve one another in the church. We strip back, we pick up a towel, and we wash each other's feet. And not literally, thankfully. But he's giving a message of be prepared to go as low as you need to go to serve one another in love. And that kind of love, because that means letting go of your agenda, it means letting go of the things that you think you want and you need, and it's coming to one another and saying, how can I serve? What do you need? What do I notice that you need? Am I looking to see what it is that you need in this moment? And how can I serve? Active love. And Jesus says, if you love each other like that, the world's going to know. I think when we look at the church globally, the big C, I'm not surprised sometimes that the world doesn't know, because I don't see a lot of this kind of loving in the church all the time. It seems like there's more division and aggression and opposition than there is love and service. There's not a lot of get rid of the title and pick up the towel mentality in the church. Big C, global. It's more, no, I'm going to hold my position and keep my title. Jesus knew who he was. He had absolute confidence and security in his identity, and that allowed him to go low. And I think that's key for us. The more secure we are in who we are, the more we can serve humbly, because we don't need any of the title. We don't need the accolades. We don't need the acknowledgement. We don't need the pat on the back, because we are secure in who we are as sons and daughters of the Most High. And that then empowers us to serve, to not be concerned about the titles or the position or what it's going to look like to the world around me. I can just serve you with humility, love, and grace. I did have notes. One of the things I feel for me personally in this whole, it's always being challenged when I'm preparing a message, is God's speaking to me. He's hammering me about it. So everything I'm saying this morning is coming out of a heart of God's already kicked me up the backside many times this week. And I think sometimes this is one of the things I recognize, that for me is we say we believe in love, we say we believe in humility, we say we believe in serving others, but if I'm honest about me, there's sometimes a gap between what I say and how I show up. And this passage really confronts this for me. Verse 3, it says, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, yet he was prepared to take it off and pick up a towel and wash the feet. He knew who he was, where he came from, where he was going, the authority he carried. Clarity and security around who we are empowers humility. If we have that security and that understanding and that clarity around who we are as sons and daughters of the Most High God, that actually empowers us to be humble. Because the heart of God in serving is all about that humility piece. Real humility, not Peter's humility. I don't want you washing my feet, Jesus, because you're Jesus. That's not true humility. The more secure you are, the more sacrificial you become. Our insecurity, our need to be noticed, our need to be acknowledged, our need to be seen. And there's nothing wrong with those things. But if that need is driving behavior, it's driving the way we act, it's driving the way we serve so that we'll be seen, acknowledged, applauded. Our motivation for serving and sacrifice is misaligned with the heart of Christ. Think about this in a leadership context. Jesus wasn't performing leadership. He was living with presence. And I often talk about this in the leadership spaces that I work in, even outside of the church context, the importance of presence over performance as a leader, as a people. And Jesus is demonstrating this brilliantly. It's about being present in the moment and what is needed in the moment, not about me trying to perform and keep my place. When you no longer need to prove your worth, you're free to pour it out. I think what we reach for reveals a lot around what motivates us. You know, there's a lot of titles in that room. You know, Rabbi, Christ, Teacher, Lord, Messiah. What does Jesus reach for? The towel. I think what we reach for in moments of power reveals a lot about who we are. The kingdom doesn't remove authority. I believe it redefines how it is expressed. Behavior shapes outcomes, culture, relationships. Jesus demonstrates in this text what loving behavior looks like. It's acknowledging the need, regardless of what it is, and being prepared to do it. Jesus is saying, this is what love looks like. This is what serving one another looks like. It looks like me being prepared to take off my title, my who I am, because I'm confident in that, and picking up a towel and washing your dirty, grubby feet. That's what serving each other looks like. There's not a lot of applause in that moment. There's not a lot of hurrah, hurrah, Hosanna, Hosanna, waving the banners in that moment. The King of Kings would lower himself, humble himself, genuinely, authentically, and wash his disciples' feet, even the feet of those that would deny and betray him. And then Jesus says, you know, a new command I give to you, love one another. Doesn't define love with words, he defines it with action. He washes their feet first, and then he says, love like this. It's not convenient love, it's not selective love, it's towel-shaped, sacrificial, dirt-soaked love. That's the kind of love we need to build and create and develop for one another. And sometimes that's hard work. I mean, some of us are easier to love than others, me included. Jesus didn't differentiate between who was easy to love and who was not. Or who was going to get it wrong and who was going to deny him or who was going to betray him. He just, nah, this is my community and I'm going to serve. No judgment, no preference, no favorites. That's hard, right? Because we live in a world that challenges us otherwise. Think about yourself first. I am number one. Jesus is going, no, that's not what it means to serve one another. He says, I've set you an example that you should do as I have done. It's not a suggestion. This is the shape of the kingdom. This applies everywhere we go, but specifically in this text to the church. And not just our community. It's probably easy here because you're all such good people. You know, close to perfect. But what about out the church out there? How are we with them? How do we serve the global church? How do we love like that without prejudice and judgment and favorites in the world out there? The Christians all over the world. Jesus says, we don't judge, we don't favorite, we don't have favorites, we just pick up the towel. And when we do that, Jesus says, the world will know that you are my disciples. John, a little bit later in John's gospel in chapter 17, Jesus prays a prayer before he's ultimately taken away to be crucified. And he prays this prayer about us. And he prays for his disciples, but he prays for those that will believe because of their testimony. That's you and me. And he prays in that prayer that we would be as one, perfectly one, as he is one with the Father. He's not just praying for Kingsway Community Church to be in unity, to be one as he is one with the Father. He's praying for the church, Christians everywhere. That we would be one as he is one with the Father. Now, when I think about that, my little brain says that's never going to happen. Impossible. Maybe that's why Jesus prayed it, because he knows how hard it is when people bring their agendas to the table instead of the heart of God to serve. Because when we bring that, we don't come with an agenda and I'm right, you're wrong, and here's the line, you're in, you're out. We come with a towel. It's a very different. He says in John 17 in his prayer, he says, the world will know that you love them. So the world will know that God loves them because of the oneness of the church. So powerful. This is not about agreement. He's not saying you all have to agree with each other. Thank goodness for that. Dave and I don't even agree on stuff. He's probably right, but it's about alignment. It's about going, you know, Dave and I can still be as one and think differently and have different opinions. If I come to that relationship with a towel and not a title, hey, I'm your boss, do what you're told. And for me, that's how it needs to be in the world. And this is a massive challenge, but I believe it starts here in the way we speak and treat and serve and love one another, and how we that then steps out into the world around us. Jesus finishes with this, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Not if you understand them even. Not even if you agree with them. Just do them. Jesus is still holding the towel. He came to serve and not to be served. And he calls us to follow that. The question for all of us and the challenge for all of us is, the towel is there. Will you pick it up and play your part? Let's pray. Yes, this is a challenge. And I'm thankful for the challenge, Jesus, that you brought to me this week as we reflect on the way you showed what love looks like, showed what it means to serve one another. And it's humbling. I pray for each of us. You know, I'm grateful that this community that we're a part of is full of love. It's full of humility and big hearts to serve you and each other. And I thank you for that. Pray you would continue to grow us, challenge us, stretch us, not just in this community, but in how we see, how we serve, how we love others. That we would come to those spaces and places and people with a towel in hand, ready to serve. We certainly can't do this in our own strength. I know I can't. I need your Spirit to empower me, to encourage me, to support me, to fill me, so that we can live more like you, with your heart to serve, love. And as we do that, my prayer is that the world will notice, the world will see, and the world will know that we are your disciples by our love for one another.